is officially WrestleMania week. This is Ruthless Aggression. I'm Pierce, joined by Rob and Chris. We got a wonderful week kicking off tomorrow, or I guess tonight, Raw in Brooklyn, and then an entire week in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Is going to be wonderful. I gotta say, if you are coming to Philly for WrestleMania weekend, I got two rules, two hard rules. There's a lot of rules in Philly, right? Like, don't do dumb shit, which should be a rule everywhere.
Yeah.
The first rule here should be a rule everywhere. Wash your ass.
Yeah.
If you are going to come here this weekend, wash your ass. It is already a lot of problems here. We don't need your funk making it worse in Philly. And wear deodorant, please. Secondly, I know, like, the whole, like, oh, you gotta get a cheesesteak. You know, this is the Philly cheesesteak is like the staple here. The roast pork is good too, by the way.
Yes.
Really good pretzels too. But, like, everybody's gonna point you, like, oh, you gotta get a cheesesteak. And a lot of people are going to point you towards Pat's and Gino's because they're right across the street from each other and they've been beefing since forever. And they'd be like, oh, you gotta go to Pat's and Gino's on Pass Young. Do not go to Pat's and Gino's.
Do not
waste your time on Pat's and Gino's. Not only is it going to be packed because every tourist under the sun is going to be there, you can literally find a better cheesesteak anywhere else in Philadelphia. Do not waste your time on Pat's and Gino's.
That's
awesome. Chris, man, your favorite cheesesteak in Philly? You feel like you've made trip maybe for
My cheesesteak like cachet is actually pretty low for someone who grew up in New Jersey for a long time.
And you eat a lot.
Yeah, exactly. So it is a little odd, but I've only really had the stuff at whatever they were selling at Citizens Bank. So whoever was the supplier then, like,
I'm trying to remember what is that. Oh, Tony Luke's.
Yeah,
Tony Luke's is really good. Every time I go to Citizens Bank. Every time I go to Citizens Bank, the line is so long. I'm like,
I'm good.
Or you could just be smart and then just go to Wawa, get a hoagie, and then just bring it down to the parks.
Yes.
That's always a good thing.
Reading Market is great, by the way.
Reading Terminal Market is a very nice spot. It's packed, but you'll find, like, every food under the sun. I think there's a Tony Luke's in there, and they have cheesesteaks and roast pork. Mm-hmm. Roast pork is really good. Get it with broccoli Rob. It's very fresh. Rob, so, like, we got Wawa here, and, like, the first time I came here, I was just, like, amazed at the mashup of convenience and, like, gas station shit. But you know what it reminded me of?
What's that?
White Hen Pantry.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And
I miss White Hen Pantry.
Yeah, we're missing White Hen. They don't have it anymore. They all turned to 7-Elevens, and those are just, you know, whatever. And Wawa's great, man. I think when we were there for Cubs Phillies a couple years ago, we ended up there two or three times. Yeah, we definitely stopped on the way out of town. It's just a really nice lunch. It's a good sandwich. It holds up, man. Definitely check out Wawa.
Definitely. And if you go to Jersey for any of the shows out in Jersey, just be aware that you cannot make a left turn. It is aggravating, and you can't pump your own gas. So don't correct. Get out the car and think you could pump your own gas, because you will go to jail or get a fine. It's stupid. WrestleMania 40 at the Link. They're getting the stage ready, unless you're on Reddit, and then you gotta spoiler alert, fucking nerds. 12 matches currently scheduled. We're expecting there'll be about one or two more that would beef it up to 16. We'll go through this card, and then we'll go back to 2008, kind of quickly put a bow on some shit, and then WrestleMania 24, Orlando, Florida, the Citrus Bowl before they fix it up, and then it looked nice, and then they put a roller coaster
in
it. This is very cool how they did that. Let's go through the two matches that haven't been announced and we're expecting them to be announced. We're expecting Liv and Nia to possibly be on the card. I think it would be shitty for Nia to be left off, because Nia's been on a tear. Since she's come back. And then, you know, it'd be good character development for Liv. So I think just get them on the card anywhere that you can.
Yeah, I mean, You know, the thing with Liv, like, in particular, you know, she went away and got hurt, and she was kind of a big deal, and she came back. She's kind of been lost in the fold a little bit just because she doesn't factor into the two big, you know, WrestleMania programs. So to give her something like this, you know, in the same vein as Nia, yeah, it's like, and I'm glad they would just do that instead of going to the Fatal 4-Way with Becky and Nia and Rhea and Liv like everyone wanted them to do. I'm glad they didn't go with that because, you know, Becky and Rhea's a much bigger deal. But yeah, I mean, it'd be a really nice spot for Nia and Liv to get on the card.
I would argue that they're not really lost because I think they've done a good job of keeping them hot.
No, fair.
I think that the intertwining here is screaming at a Fatal 4-Way, either in France, Saudi at the end of May, or, you know, sometime down the line. I think there's definitely going to be a 4-Way. It's sort of like Backlash 07 and then obviously Backlash 08 when they repeated the 4-Ways. I think that, you know, doing that match, like you said, Pearson, you know, I know people don't like Nia. They have their reasons to not like Nia. If it's not related to her wrestling, I can understand why you would find her unsavory. But reality is reality. She's done a very good job since she's come back. I think that for me, what stood out, particularly when she's had these segments where she's, you know, come off very dominating and dominant, that's what she should have been before.
Mm-hmm.
Like what they're doing is actually like, they're getting her, and she's not just like a big who wrestles. She's a big. She's wrestling like a big. She's moving around there. They gave her the Vader bomb, which I think was a great choice for her finisher, because it's emphatic, obviously, and her family has used it before. So yeah, I don't have a problem with anything that she's done. She's played her role incredibly well. Liv, she's very popular. She's been in the mix. I think giving her a match against Nia at Mania would be nice. It would be, you know, an opportunity for them to establish a non-title feud. And you can, if Nia is willing to lie down, and I think she would be, you give a big win for Liv.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think that, you know, the chips fall where they fall, but that seems like it's a match where you can get that together 6 days going in. Cause I know Liv wasn't at Raw. I don't believe Nia appeared at Raw either this past week, but that's something that you can quickly tie up on Monday, in my opinion.
Yes.
Doesn't require too much. You've already done a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other match we're anticipating, and they kind of planted the seeds for it the other night. What are they calling themselves again?
The Final Testament. The
Final Testament.
Yeah.
Final Testament, Karrion Kross, Akam, Razor, AOP, and Scarlett.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Against, sorry, I was really mentioning the Street Profits and Bobby, because I think they have a name now.
I think it's
I think they're the Almighty Prophets, yeah, I believe.
But I think there's like, I want to say Pride.
The Pride, yes.
Pride, yeah, like the Pride of a Lion, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Almighty,
yeah.
Prophets is better. They should have just went with that.
Mashup of all mashups.
And, they've got BFAB in there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they got BFAB who, you for the second game in a row, is available as a manager, but not as a wrestler. So you got to get her in the community creations.
Yeah.
If you're annoyed by that, like one little tidbit of WWE 2K24, like I am, then it's good to know. I don't really got a thought about that one. I'm gonna be honest with you. It's a match.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't think
I get Bobby on the card because he didn't last year.
Well, yeah, that's the big thing. And I don't think any of us are particularly high on Karrion Kross, but here's the thing. If Cody's going to win the title, he's one of the top heels on SmackDown. He might get a title program at one of these, you know, American arena pay-per-views that are not super, you know, loaded up anymore. I don't really like Lashley and the Street Profits as a group because I think individually the two acts are so much better. And they haven't really done anything to sway me on that yet. So I think if this match was to happen, Cross and AOP winning would make more sense because I think they're going to stay together longer.
Yeah.
And, you know, if the match would be what it is, this is a perfect example of like you can just get in, get out, have like a 7-minute match. Not everything on WrestleMania needs 15 plus minutes. Exactly. It's a great example of that, you know, let everyone get their moments. Let Lashley do his really cool entrance on a big stage and, you know, get out.
You know, I obviously like the Cross stuff to me, this stuff is like pretty inoffensive. And, you know, I feel like a couple years ago, you know, when he was leading NXT and whatnot, I think he was, I said at the time, and I still feel this, they miscast him in that role. They were trying to make him like Brock, and that didn't work because he's not Brock. And if he's just going to play this role where he's like, you know, like you said, he can play in the upper mid card and be a potential title challenger, but not like an actual like threat.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Whatever.
Yeah, especially with the stable, you know.
Yeah,
the,
like fine. Whatever.
You can get a lot out
that's,
of that.
Yeah, you can get a lot out of that. That's fine. Whatever. And even if you brought up Cody and whatnot, like, okay, like if you want to be wink wink about it, have Cody take advice from Seth on how to deal with AOP.
Yeah.
Although they were together and they had a thing, they had a faction or whatever in 2020. So yeah, I mean, this match is fine. I agree on the Lashley and Profits deal. I imagine that'll be some post WrestleMania aftermath here. I don't expect this to go very long. I feel like they're just like running in place and have been, but they have to probably make do for Lashley missing Mania last year. So
yeah,
it makes sense.
No, I agree.
In the world to just do that.
Now let's get into the actual card.
Yes.
Here, as I try to place my bets before the 1 o'clock game starts. We'll do the first of the two championship matches because we're going to come back around to the two main events. Seth freaking Rollins defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Drew McIntyre. Now, last Monday in Chicago, which, by the way, I loved the mini stage. They should do the mini stage in Chicago all the time.
Yes.
It was just cool to see the back all full. I digress. Very, very, very good promo between the two of them and CM Punk, who was, I think they announced he will be on commentary.
Yes,
he will for this match, which is much better than doing
special referee or whatever.
Special refereeing, because good lord.
No need to.
I love that they were just like, hey, you guys have 15, 20 minutes to do it. Do it. We're not telling you what to do. You got bullet points, but do it. Because they don't do that anymore. They overscript shit and people fumble lines and say shit wrong and it looks so fucking clumsy. They knew the three guys that were going to be in that ring, and credit to Drew for really being able to hold his own on the mic with the two of them. And they knew that we just let them get 15, 20 minutes and go, and they'll be able to sell this match and sell this pay-per-view and sell CM Punk's role within this, which they really didn't have to do much of that anyway. But the fact they were able to do it so effectively, it's going to be fun. I think Drew wins. It's about time Seth has a worthy challenger to lose that belt to. And then it'll just be interesting to see how Punk ends up playing a role in the decision one way or another.
Yeah, I think this one's going to be interesting because, you know, obviously you imagine this will be night two because Seth's got the match.
Yeah, I think it's announced. It's announced nice too.
Yeah. So a lot of it comes into play. Like, does Drew get involved in that match to kind of send a message to Seth because he's kind of been hovering around the build to that? Or, you know, is this just going to stand on its own with the Punk factor? And either way, I think Drew's going to win. I think a way you could do it is Punk, you know, inadvertently cost Seth, and then, you know, that continues that story. And then even as Drew is celebrating, you know, Punk could lay him out and you could even have Priest come cash in. Then you kind of continue Punk Drew and you get the title on Priest finally. And it could just be a stopgap thing where, you know, he's your champion for a couple months and you pivot back, but then you can advance three stories at one time. And it's a big opportunity. And there's a lot of those opportunities on this card, I think, but, yeah, I think Seth's definitely losing. I don't want to say for sure that Drew's walking out with the title because, again, it could be Priest. But, yeah, I definitely think Seth is losing here.
I will stand on the ground that says that Seth does not lose.
Hmm?
I think that this is sort of a two-way answer here, just with my theory on this entire situation. Drew is going to cost them the win on Saturday night in night one. There's my prediction for the tag match. Drew is going to get instant karma for that by losing to Seth or getting upstaged by a cash-in. It's going to be one of those two things. I don't expect it just because I feel like, you know, Drew's been busting ass, been doing a lot, might be getting a new contract, but does that mean that he's going to be around? I don't know. Usually around this time, people take time off. He's been around for a really, really long time at this point. He's been here for like three straight years.
Mm-hmm.
He had that break after last year where, you know, he finally got off the wagon and then he came back and went after Gunther. But yeah, I wish I could see the narrative that everybody has for Drew winning the title, but I feel like it would just sort of be inconsistent with everything that they would be doing, because if they're crowning a new champion in Cody, they could crown a new champion with Drew, but he would feel out of place in a new like babyface land in WWE. So yeah. I feel like the point is to push Drew to the brink where he doesn't have a choice and he eventually wins Money in the Bank. Spoiler alert for what I think of him later this year. But yeah, I will go with Seth defending the title successfully.
Okay.
All right. Continuing with the matches that are not announced for either night yet.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, are you ready?
Maybe.
Have you thought about what would happen if she has her moment at WrestleMania? I'm pretty sure you have, but how you will be when she has her moment at WrestleMania is what I mean.
You know, I admittedly separated myself from the basement when the Rumble match happened. I went up to my room and watched. I'll probably do that for this match because I'll probably be tense for those 15 or 20 minutes. But yeah, I mean, it's like I said the other night, you know, you can't get me to dislike the road that we've been on since she came back just because the year before that was such a disaster. So it's like you wait for the payoff and it's like you feel like it happened here and it would be awesome. But what I will say, and this goes into everything else too, for every match on this show besides the two main events, I'm willing to put every possibility on the table, including her losing. So I'm willing to say that either is possible.
That's fair. You know, I think it would be, I don't think it'd be an issue if Bayley lost, but it does kind of feel like they're setting it up for her to win. I know,
that's the thing.
The story can also continue after WrestleMania, but it
still
does.
Will. I think it still will. There's no doubt in my mind that this is going to be a thing for a while.
You know, but also, like, it is her first singles match. It'd be nice.
That's the thing, too. Yeah.
You know, they just give her the moment, and then, you know, even if she does want to drop it back to EO and they want to continue the feud, that's fine. But, like, just to make the moment, I think it would be good to see Bayley win here.
Valid.
Do you think that we get a music change?
I mean, I wouldn't rule it out.
Do you think we see any buddies pop up that we haven't seen in a minute?
That I won't say, but I know she's trying to campaign to get Paramore to sing her to the ring.
Do you think she gets Paramore to come? Because if she gets Paramore to come, I would lose my fucking mind.
Yeah.
And I might go find Hayley Williams and be like, yo, your boyfriend ain't it. Yeah. I might piss off my future wife, but hey, your boyfriend ain't it. Anyway.
Yeah. That would be sensational if they got Paramore to do that. Yeah. That's what I'm definitely looking for here for sure. Also, I mean, if they want to, I guess they could bring out Poppy since, you know, they love Poppy.
That's true.
Love them some fucking Poppy. What are the, okay, are better odds of showing up, Paramore or Poppy?
Probably Poppy just because they...
just because of the previous relationship. Yeah.
Actually, how about this? Who's most likely to show up? Paramore, Poppy, or Meek Mill?
Meek.
Yeah, Meek thing sounds like it's happening. Well,
see, it might... It sounds like it might, but I mean, you know, the federal government might have a say in that, possibly, perhaps.
Yeah.
So, you know,
good point.
You never be too sure about these things here. Elsewhere on this card, for the Women's World Championship, by the way, Bayley's winning. For the Women's World Championship, Rhea Ripley will defend against Becky Lynch. This is obviously a good one. They've kept them apart for as long as they could.
Yeah.
They each represent a different era of the women's division. And I think what's interesting is the thing that kind of personifies that is this little stink face that Rhea does now.
Mm-hmm.
And some loser person who's interviewing Becky because Becky's doing her book tour, they asked her about, I think, in like a playful joking because they seen it and, you know, they thought it was funny. Da, da, da. And the wrong person to ask that to is Becky Lynch for all that Becky has done to try to change what women's wrestling was, the perception of women's wrestling in America. For it to, I don't want to say devolve in that because I don't think it's devolving into anything. I think it's a fun little spot that she did with Nia. because Nia was game for it, and she did it with Shayna because Shayna's gay, and people have, you know, in a horny society now, taken Rhea Ripley, this wrestler, and, you know, made her into a sex symbol. And Becky represents what it took for them to get them more than three minute speed matches now that they have, you know. So it's an interesting little, you know, clashing of eras, I feel, between Becky and Rhea. That said, I'm excited for it because I think this is the biggest star power that you've had.
Yes.
In a women's main event.
Yeah.
From a wrestling perspective. I think Becky takes it because it's been a minute since Becky's been the cream of the crop in the women's division, even when she was the heel champion on Raw. You know, I don't think that she had that cachet of, you know, the popularity, the superstardom, because it was always Bianca there, or on the other show, you know, Charlotte was there, whatever. Becky would be the star, you know, of the women's division in WWE again, and be a credit to Rhea Ripley for being able to hold that belt for a year. So I'm excited for this. It's going to be fun, but Becky's taking that shit home.
Yeah, I think it's interesting you bring up that point. I think a lot of people have had a lot of opinions on that whole thing with Rhea and Becky. My main thought on it has just been like, yeah, I understand that, you know, there's nothing wrong with what Rhea's doing. Obviously, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it. But at the same time, if she's going to bring it up in canon and whatnot and say things like, oh, I don't have to wrestle, I can just post a picture or I can go viral and then everyone can love me or whatever, I don't have to wrestle. What is Becky supposed to say in response to that? Is she just supposed to, like, you know, like, nod her head and be like, yeah, good for you, but we have to still talk about this because your booking has made you only wrestle two times since 2024 started. She's wrestled against Ivy Nile and then had the match against Nia at Elimination Chamber. You don't have much to work with, so what are you supposed to talk about? And if she's leaning into it, I don't think anyone's being shamed here. I think that that's the wrong language being used. But Becky's somebody who, like you said, she's had to do a lot to change perception. She's gone through body issues herself and, you know, with things like that and whatnot. So, yeah. And I mean, in general, like, she might have a different POV and a different perspective on things. It's okay if that happens. But in the story, it makes sense because they're two different people with two different ideals and two different ways of going about things. Becky has always been a proud fighting champion. Even when she was a villain, she would still go out there and wrestle. That's the thing. That's the difference here. Rhea's booking has, you know, I haven't minded it because they're doing something totally different. They established her as something different. But I mean, what do you want us to do? She doesn't wrestle a lot. She hasn't wrestled a lot. She doesn't have to wrestle every week, but she can wrestle. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that wanting that either. So, and you know, for the match, I've been 70-30, 75-25 on Rhea retaining. But I mean, Becky hasn't held the title in 2 years. Like you said, she hasn't been a top face in like 5 at this point with the title. She has the book. She's on the tour. She's obviously number one. She's a top star everywhere that she goes. She's never held that championship. She's going to get re-signed eventually. So she's going to get a new contract. And sometimes when you get a new contract, you get a title. Or in some cases with Bayley, who got her new contract in January, you get a Rumble win and a potential title win at Mania. I think Becky can win. I'm going to pick Becky. I think Rhea could obviously win. It would do a lot for her. But after that, it's like, okay, then what do you do?
Yeah.
Becky winning kind of milks it a little bit.
No, I get you. It just, at the same time, it doesn't feel like the right time for Rhea to lose.
But when is the right time?
Well, that's the thing.
Because if she's not going to wrestle.
Yeah.
That leads you to think that she will help hold that title for longer. And I don't think that's something that they could do in the women's division. That's something that they need to not do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
she's got to lose at some point. I mean, she's already established. Everybody loves her either way.
Yeah.
I think she also wants to be a face so blatantly badly. That's a whole different story, but she obviously wants to be a face.
That's fair. I mean,
she does all the shit that her fans want her to do. She's not
really does. Like, yeah, it bothers me to an extent because, like, while everyone else in your group is really perfectly playing the heel card and beating up the beloved son, R-Truth, you're finding ways to sell. And of course, like, you know, there's the whole tweener aspect of it.
Yeah.
you know, and that heels are sometimes so cool that they get cheered. But they still, at the end of the day, their heart of hearts, they're still heels. Mm-hmm. And they still, you know, exude heel personifications. And for Rhea comes off babyface. Mm-hmm. And she exudes babyface. I don't think there's anything, even when in her mannerisms with the crowd, that screams heel. Or even screams Scott Hall. So, yeah. You know.
No, that's fair. I'm going to go with Rhea. Wouldn't surprise me if Becky wins, but, you know, should be a great match.
Yes.
It'll be really fun. For the Intercontinental Championship, Sami Zayn is challenging Gunther. And I'm going to say Sami Zayn. One, Sami's earned himself a singles title.
Yes, he has.
Mm-hmm.
I think his only singles run has been with the United States title. He had the match against Daniel Bryan a couple years ago.
Yep.
So, you know, he's done so much within the last couple of years to raise his profile. I think he deserves a singles title. And then also, it's an avenue for Gunther to move up now. There's nothing else for him to do with that belt. Okay. Not a damn thing else to do with that belt. Actually, sorry, it wasn't United States belt. Sami had Intercontinental.
Yeah.
That was Intercontinental that Sami had. Yeah. But yeah, Gunther there's nothing left for him to do with that championship belt. It's time for him to move up and move on and be a top heel on Raw or maybe SmackDown, but probably Raw.
Agreed.
So I think if someone's going to do it, everyone's like, oh, what about Chad Gable? They showed you that it's not going to be Chad Gable.
Yeah.
They told you blatantly.
Yeah.
They told you that in September when he couldn't beat him.
They did. They did. And, you know, the Chad Gable thing, I get it. You know, people wanted to see him get it. But, you know, I think they're really losing sight of Sami Zayn being Sami Zayn. Like,
yes, they are. Because they moved on to the new shiny.
That's why the reaction was kind of weird. But, you know, he was in the main event of WrestleMania last year. He was, you know, called the best part of the Bloodline feud for the whole second act of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, now suddenly everyone has a bone to pick with him. And I think I'll win him back over here, though. I think he should win. This one feels like it could be the match of the weekend for them as well.
Yeah.
So really excited for that. I think Sami wins. Gunther probably takes a few weeks off, if I had to guess, depending on when they do the draft. And then maybe he goes to SmackDown. He's, you know, a match for Cody at some point down the line. I think people have had that pencil in for quite a bit. I think
he's a match for
there's,
Seth.
There's too, interest in a Seth match. Yeah. Yep, I agree with that.
Because Seth can easily lose to Gunther.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's obsessed with, you know, Drew getting the title because he's been on a heel run, and that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Because you're rooting for a heel to win a title. But mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I get it. Like, oh, Sami Zayn should win the world title instead. And, you know, he still maybe can someday. But, like, at this point in time, the Intercontinental title is probably the second most important title in the company, you know, all things considered, men or women. So it's like it's been brought up to that pedigree again. And I think Sami's going to win. It's going to be a really nice moment.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You know, you go through the first three picks here, Bayley, Becky, and now I'm picking Sami. It's like, oh, wow, these are the central figures of 2014, 2015 NXT. They're just playing in a big stage now. And I think that's one of the reasons why I've, you know, started really liking the TV and whatnot, because, you know, that era of NXT was awesome and helped me maintain my fandom through a lot of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't understood the negative reactions to Sami at all. I think the internet crowd has lost the plot. This match is going to be sensational. I think people have forgotten how good of an underdog Sami can play, especially in a match that he could potentially win. And I mean, it's like, To me, if you have Gunther beat Sami, you have to do a lot to get Gable up to that level. And I think that I think you can, with Sami, it's so easily attainable because you've already done that work. You've already made him a star. He already is a star. He has that recognition and has had that recognition. Well, you have the opportunity to do that, and they do here, yeah, flip the switch.
And I mean,
Sami the title.
And Sami could give Gable a match, too.
He can, yeah. Sami can give Gable a great match.
They've kind of been building to that where they've been kind of aligned now, and you know, so that could be a magic backlash.
Agree.
But yeah, I think Sam should win here.
Yeah. Six pack tag team ladder match for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship. Judgment Day, Finn Balor and Damian Priest will defend against DIY, Gargano and Ciampa, the awesome truth, Miz and R-Truth, The New Day, Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods. A-Town Down Under, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. And yeah, right. And New Catch Republic, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. Now, one thing I will say about this tag team match. Everyone in this tag team has a name.
Yes.
There is not a X and Y in Correct. Sight.
That's good.
And I kind of appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Even though, like, yeah, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller is the most, why the fuck are they here tag team? But okay, I mean, sure. This is one where I don't care. Go out and have a fun match. I think Awesome Truth wins it just based on the story that's been told between Judgment Day and R-Truth. But I'm here for fun. I'm here for ladders. I'm here for doing silly shit. I think I'm very excited to see what the New Day can pull off. Because I don't. When was the last time New Day had an actual WrestleMania match? Not the shit that happened to them in Dallas.
They were in the triple threat with Usos and Bludgeon Brothers at 34.
Yeah.
Yes. They didn't have a title match last year, did they?
No.
They did not.
They didn't.
Then I guess you can count 37 if you want to, the AJ and Omos match, but
yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
whatever. But this is a showcase that could be fun for them. So yes. I'm excited for that. Who else can shine in this match? Interested to see what New Catch can do, bringing a different style to the ladder match. I would like to see Grayson Waller go through a table.
Yeah, I can see Waller doing some crazy shit. He could probably do his that move that he does where he jumps in the ring, does the tumble, and then hits.
I thought you were thinking the crossover. He can do a crossover onto someone through the ladder.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be awesome. Cool.
Yeah,
I mean, this match should be fun. You know, it's nice to have a big multi-person ladder match back on WrestleMania. 12 people's crazy. I don't know how they're gonna maneuver that. Big thing for this one, you know, is just kind of keep it 15 minutes or so. Don't go too far with it. Everyone's going to just let it be chaos for 15 minutes. And I think everyone will have a good time with that. You either could have one team grab each of the belts, and that's how you split the belts. You could have Truth grab it and, you know, just leave after grabbing one and the other one's still up for grabs or whatever. Or, you know, you could have Awesome Truth get both and
figure it out from there.
Yeah, I mean, it's very clear that they are going to be splitting the titles because, you know, Pierce, like you said, every team in this has a name. You know, there's six or seven teams on Raw and SmackDown each now.
Yeah.
You know, Pretty Deadly's not even in this. Garza and Humberto have been, you know, a team on SmackDown. The Creeds are on Raw. They're not in this.
So yeah, and Pretty Deadly beat Orton and KO the other
day. But yeah, I mean, you know, the Creeds, Otis and Tozawa, Otis and Gable, whatever combination you want to do there, they're not in this. You know, the Good Brothers are around. So yeah, they have plenty of tag teams now where, you know, moving the titles together so the Usos could have them and because there weren't enough tag teams works, but now, you know, both those have been checked off. So
yes,
yeah, exactly. you can split the titles back up and it's time to do that. But yeah, I think Awesome Truth comes away with at least one of the belts.
Likewise. I don't think Judgment Day will hold the titles after WrestleMania.
No.
Not even like, oh, okay, they're going to have the other half.
I don't think so.
There'll be two new sets of champions.
No having these titles, at least for the Judgment Day. Let's do some singles matches. LA Knight's taking on AJ Styles. Who you got?
I guess LA Knight, you know.
Yeah.
I'd like if this one gets like a street fight or something attached to it, just kind of juice it up a little bit.
Yeah, I could see that.
And, you know, Styles, the build of this has been pretty good because I wasn't really looking forward to it when they announced it because I don't think LA Knight's very good. And Styles, you know, has never really had a good WrestleMania match outside the Shane McMahon one and the Boneyard one. So I was like, oh, it's going to be another disappointing match. But, you know, they've won me over. He's leaning heel now. He's apparently getting new music, which is terrifying in 2024 WWE, but hopefully it's good.
Be a death sentence.
The Good Brothers aren't really around him anymore, you know. So in a street fight also, he could bring in, you know, Tama Tonga, who he has history with, and that could be kind of the X factor here. You know, that lets that happen. But if they don't do that, you know, I think LA Knight getting the big win and everyone doing the yeah and all that good stuff after would also be cool. So it'll be a nice little undercard match.
Yeah, I think when Styles started going heel and when they announced the Tama Tonga thing, I felt like I put two and two together there in my head, and I felt like, you know, he was going to show up there at some point. And like you said, if they give this a street fight attachment, which, to be fair, they've had them brawl multiple times off site. They had Knight, you know, being disguised this past week in attack style. So they're pushing the physicality angle. And that's another thing that you can just do in a snap on Friday or whatever after a segment. Be like, oh, OK, you guys can't hold yourselves. We're going to be no holds barred at WrestleMania or something like that. Or do a Philadelphia street fight.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. Because you figure with a guy like Knight doing a Philly street fight, if he has like a hockey stick or something with the Eagles or something like that, like that's easy. That's easy.
Yeah,
I will go with Styles to win this.
Honestly, don't care. If I had to choose one or the other, it's probably gonna be Styles because I think LA Knight can take a loss.
Yeah,
and be okay. But yeah, the Usos are at war. Uso crazy. I don't know what else to do with that one. Jay is taking on Jimmy. This is the third brother on brother match in WrestleMania history, the first between twins.
Yeah.
How else do I sell this?
Listen, the brother versus brother matches have varied, you know, from Bret and Owen to Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy.
To mid.
Yeah. This one, I think, will probably be right in the middle of the two. You know, I don't particularly like either one as a singles guy. I would like them to just team again at some point, and I think they will. But, you know, they've wanted to do this. It's kind of been a thing that they've always wanted to do, so it's nice for them, I guess. I think the big thing with this one is it really should lead off either night just because, you know, that's when you get the crowd the hottest and probably the best chance to really, you know, get him engaged in this. Jay's entrance is going to be very cool with all the people doing his thing. And I mean, there's another one where, you know, if you keep it the right length and put it in the right place in the show, it's going to be a lot of fun. But, you know, if it goes kind of longer than it should, it could outlast its welcome. But I think Jay gets the win just because he's the bigger star right now. There's really no reason for the heel to ever win these brother against brother matches either. So. And I mean, they could reunite after this, and that just kind of takes Jimmy out of the Bloodline rules equation because, you know, as we'll talk about when we get to that, there's two other guys who can take Solo and The Rock out of the equation. So you get Jimmy out that way.
This is facts.
Yep. I think Jay picks up the win here.
Yeah.
I'm going with the more popular superstar.
Yes.
Jimmy wins, like, I guarantee he's not going to do shit for Jimmy.
Yeah.
Triple threat match for the United States Championship. Logan Paul defends Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. And I'm sorry for Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. One of you two is going to have to eat a pin for Logan Paul. It really pains me to say that, but yeah.
I'd be surprised, honestly. I'd be surprised because he's been champion for a little bit. I think that, you know, they've been doing their thing with it, but I don't know. Now that I suddenly think that Sami Zayn is winning the Intercontinental title, I can see an avenue where him and KO are both the mid-card champions of their respective shows.
I can see that.
And I think it's okay. When was the last time Owens won at Mania? Or like, you know, or actually, I should say in a singles match. Yeah, singles.
I was about to say
last 21. Year. Obviously, you won. Yeah, duh.
21. You faced
Sami. He faced Sami with, ironically, Logan Paul involved.
Logan Paul.
Yeah,
they stunned Logan Paul.
Very odd and hilarious that Kevin Owens and Logan Paul have a WrestleMania cachet. I'm gonna say Owens takes the win here. Logan will have a chance to win it, but KO will get him with a stunner and then pick up the win. That's where I think this is going, because I think also considering that they're in Cleveland for SummerSlam, I could see Logan Paul getting a big title match then, and eventually at some point you have to get him off the U.S. title to do that. So this is as good an opportunity to do that as any.
The six women tag match. It is Damage Control, Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane.
Yes.
Against the team of Naomi, Bianca Belair, and the debuting. Jade Cargill, who we wrestled her first actual match at WrestleMania. The last person to wrestle their first match at WrestleMania? Go.
Ronda Rousey,
I think, right? Or was it Bad Bunny?
Bad Bunny.
See, you're saying Bad Bunny. I was gonna go with Omos.
Oh yeah, sure.
Did Omos have a main roster match before that?
That's a good question. Actually, I'm not sure that he did.
I don't think he did, honestly. Okay.
If he did, he probably faced some jobber in the Thunderdome or whatever the hell.
Yeah, that's interesting. You had two folks who had their first main roster match at 29 in New York. One was, I don't want to say it was memorable, but you know, went on to have a memorable career.
Fandango, yeah.
Well, that wasn't the one who had the memorable career. That's Big E.
Right.
Fandango, oh yeah, Big E.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. I forgot crazy.
About that.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
As I torture my cat because it's fun. It's going to be the black woman. It's going to be the sisters. They can't lose. They can't.
No,
lose.
And I mean, you know, you let Bianca get a lot of the offense in. You let Naomi do her spots, and then at some point, it switches to the heels get the advantage. Jade does a hot tag, comes in and does her Goldberg stuff, which you know, was big in the Rumble, and you know, I imagine
in the segment the other night.
She
ragdolled the shit out of Dakota.
Exactly. So just let her do that stuff, and go from there, man. And you know, Dakota Kai, speaking of, has been incredible since coming back. I think she could take a lot of the offense here, especially with Asuka being hurt. And Kyrie's been good. Yeah. I don't know. She's not the same as she was.
I think they're just kind of.
She is.
They're kind of, well, because they're just like, they're making her a tag wrestler, yeah. Obviously. So they're just kind of, you know, going slow and steady with her. I think eventually they will unleash her.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's the right way to do it.
Yeah, I think Dakota taking a lot of the offense and probably even taking the pin is the move.
Yeah, Kyrie is the silent but deadly type.
Yeah.
In damage control.
That's fair.
That's what I think of her. And yes, I will be hooting and hollering as Bianca, Jade, and Naomi give those backstabbing damage control bozos exactly what they deserve.
There you go.
But in all seriousness, this is going to be a fun attraction style match where the show will match the attraction. That's how I see this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not perturbed by the fact that you know, the titles aren't being defended, because at this point, while I'm upset as a fan at Damage Control, I don't necessarily want to see Asuka and Kyrie lose those championships yet. But what I will say is that if they extend this on, and if they want to, any of the three combinations that they have out of Bianca, Jade, and Naomi being the tag team champions, two thumbs up.
Exactly. No, that's the thing. And like
that's where
I'm about where you go from here.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll have avenues, and that's big. But I think Bianca and Jade and Naomi are gonna win.
This match will mean a lot to a lot of people, and that rules.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Latino World Order. It seems like it's just a tag team match, which is kind of mid.
It is, yeah.
Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee. Shout out to Dragon Lee getting a WrestleMania match against Santos Escobar and Dete Dominic Mysterio. Now, the interesting thing is Carlito's not in it.
Yep.
Andrade's not in it. What happened to the whole, like, Dom and them trying to recruit Andrade?
It might be something here is what I think. Could happen.
Yeah, because I think Carlito's going to get involved, because he seemed pretty mad that he wasn't the pick on Friday. And then maybe Andrade gets involved, you know, in that regard to take Carlito out. It is kind of surprising that they went with Dragon Lee instead of Andrade. And I mean, I think Dragon Lee can rise to the moment.
Yes.
But, you know, Andrade is one of those guys where I think we're going to have to wait till he came back at really not an ideal time for someone that's not involved in WrestleMania plans to come back.
Exactly.
You know, we saw it with the Creeds. We kind of saw it with Bron Breakker a bit, where these guys all came up and came in at this time. Tiffany Stratton, yeah. They all came up and came in at this time. And it's like, well, if you're not in the WrestleMania plans, it's going to be hard to really get you featured. And that's what we're seeing here. But yeah, I mean, Andrade's going to be fine. I think, again, he probably would make an appearance in this match.
That's what I think, too. Yeah, I tend to think that he will somehow factor into this equation here.
It's nice having this Ray and Dom thing that you can just go back to whenever, though, and it's, you know, instantly heated up. So that's credit to both of them for that.
I was going to say, because, like, I wasn't all that gung-ho about SmackDown last week, because I was just kind of doing whatever. I was playing the show, I think, or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I turned it on, and I saw, you know, Dom reveal himself. And I'm like, oh, shit, okay, this is awesome. Let's keep going.
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, it's, you know, Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania. That's it. You don't know how many more of them we're going to get. You got to just appreciate that.
I saw some post being like, oh, this match could have happened on SmackDown. You're talking about Rey Mysterio?
Yeah, here? Exactly.
Let's not be disrespectful.
Exactly. I mean, you know, his match last year was awesome. And, you know, he was hurt for a while. So it's nice that he's back and he's going to be getting this match. I think this one's a little bit tougher to tell who's going to win, I think.
That one, that too.
Because they've really been doing a lot with Santos and the whole group. If I had to guess, I think I would go with...
I'll go with Santos with the help of Andrade.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, if Andrade joins them...
Well, because he's being recruited by Rhea and Dom.
Yeah.
But Dom and Rhea are having dissension also, so I don't know if Dom's taking over the mindset there. There's a lot of friction in Judgment Day. Judgment Day needs to either not be a thing or needs to break off at some point, for the record.
Yeah, well, I think we're very close to that. But I think I'm going with Santos and Dom as well.
I'm sorry. Oh, my God. Big touchdown. Please tell me watching the UFL.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Fuck the kickoffs. Bring that shit to the NFL. You guys at home are obviously not watching. Maybe you can see this online. San Antonio lined up for a field goal kick. Everybody was just like, no, fuck that. We're not kicking. Dude rolls back to quarterback. Someone on the offensive line is eligible. And they were just like, go long on 4th and 11. Everyone go long. Everyone's covering the skill guys. Lone in the middle, number 55, Mollett. He's definitely 285 pounds. And then barrels in for a touchdown. Bring me that shit with my National Football League, Roger Goodell. You guys want safety on kickoffs? I want big men scoring touchdowns. I want fat guys scoring touchdowns, damn it. This guy never scored a touchdown, but he was a fat guy who played football. His name's Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock. See that? You see that? That's called a segue. He will be wrestling night one of WrestleMania. He's kind of used to this. He will be teaming with his cousin, Joe, otherwise known as Roman Reigns, against Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins. Now, if Rollins and Rhodes wins, all members of the Bloodline will be barred from ringside night two when Cody and Seth run it back. If Rock and Reigns win, it's Bloodline rules, which means we're getting all the shenanigans.
Just a question about Bloodline rules real quick. The people online are like, oh, if it's Bloodline rules, then that would only mean for the Bloodline. No, it doesn't. Stop being stupid.
This isn't WCW, so no, it does not mean that. Yeah. If this was WCW, then yes, because they would dusty finish the hell.
Or the Drew McIntyre, Dolph Ziggler, Extreme Rules, Thunderdome title match that was only Extreme Rules for Dolph Ziggler. That was stupid.
That was very fucking stupid. But it was the Thunderdome, so.
But also, if they were going to do that, that would be a thing that they would specifically say, because that it's a heel thing, but it's not a thing that they're doing because they didn't say that.
Bloodline rules just means no holds barred.
Exactly.
And we need to get that. Like that, the tag match, which again, it's going to be interesting on its own as far as how that goes, because you can't have Roman and Cody in there for too long against each other, because first of all, it's your match Sunday night. But second of all, you know, you can't risk either of them getting hurt, because again, it is your match Sunday night. But, you know, Seth has a match Sunday night too. So it's going to be really interesting, you know, the division of who's in for how long and, you know, what combinations we see. It's going to be interesting if The Rock can actually still wrestle. But at this point, I'm not doubting him anymore, because I didn't think anything in this run would happen. And he's turned into an all-time character again, which is incredible. So it's like the Roman and Rock obviously need to pick up the victory here. Maybe Rock pins Cody, because that's a match you want to go back to at some point, clearly down the line. But yeah, that's the move. It sets up Bloodline rules. And then, you know, from there, watch out.
Agree.
Yes. And see, because I think everyone's in agreement that whoever wins night one isn't winning night two. And you want the shenanigans as a wrestling fan. You should want the shenanigans. Like, the people are worried that it will go to Attitude Era. I don't think that this can get enough Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Like, because it's one of the two biggest stars of that era. wrestling or attached to this match, and he's been the star, the most focal point of this feud. It hasn't been the champion, the guy that's been the champion for 4 fucking years.
Yeah.
You know, that's just a testament to the respect that The Rock deserves. So yes, you overdo everything. I think you overdo everything within this.
Yes,
and it should be fun. I don't think that trailer was there for no fucking reason at all.
Yeah.
We know Cena ain't doing shit. And if Cena ain't doing shit and that's one of The Rock's biggest rivals, man, I wonder what the other Rock's biggest rivals is doing.
Well, yeah. And not only that, you know, last time we saw Cena, Solo Sikoa took him out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah, so like maybe, you know, maybe he's part of the beating up Solo. And I always looked at it as like this. Yeah, maybe Cena takes out the other ones. And then he gets taken out by Roman because Cena's never really done shit with Roman. And then, you know, Rock standing over Cena's lifeless body. Then you hear that glass break. And 60-year-old Stone Cold Steve Austin starts sauntering down to the ring, fucking everybody up. I will live for this. I'm gonna go crazy when fucking Rock comes out. Cause like that whole new entrance is just like
is
everything, you know? So I'm so excited. I haven't been this excited for pro wrestling in so long. Like
it's gonna be a hell of a time, man. Like, again, you hope all 4 get through it without getting hurt, just because it would really screw up the next night.
Oh, but, yeah.
You know, that aside,
we'll screw up 2 matches.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, just a giant all-star tag match. It's kind of fitting for WrestleMania 40 main event, because WrestleMania 1 was also an all-star tag match.
Yeah. So,
you know, you go back to your roots there, and we're all in on the Bloodline, and then obviously, you know, Bloodline rules night 2. And listen, the thing about Roman and Cody, I think last year at this time, we all agreed Cody needed to win. And he didn't. That upset some people, obviously. You know, wondered how they'd get another year out of it. They somehow managed to.
The right decision.
They did. It's hotter.
Yeah.
They proved it was the right decision, and then they ended up making more stars. Using that term loosely for Rob, since he doesn't think Jey Uso is a star.
Oh, he definitely is. He's not for me.
Yeah. You end up making other stars because you decided not to pull the trigger. So they were right.
Yeah. So, but now here we are, you know, if it doesn't happen this time, then you have a problem.
Yes.
Because, you know,
you've exhausted your resources and you haven't done it.
You've set Cody up where he failed the one time. It was fine. But I don't think you can have him win the Royal Rumble twice in a row, you know, being one of only X amount of 3 guys who've done that. I believe it's him and Hogan and Austin. You can't have him come out and just lose again. And, you know, the Bloodline rules, I think we'll see Seth get involved. I think we'll see, you know,
KO, Sammy.
KO might be out there. It might be just, you know, everyone who has ever had a problem with Roman on this reign. And, you know, he might just dispatch all of them. And, you know, at some point we're going to have the deck stacked against Cody, and the Rock's going to be the one going after him. You know, glass break, you have Stone Cold flying down on his ATV.
Yeah.
Rock does one last stunner. You know,
he better do the sell right.
But the only thing is, you do all this, but the end of the match has to be Cody hitting the crossroads and winning, and him and Roman are the only 2 people in the ring.
Yes.
And then you can have Rock and Roman come back, or Austin and Cena come back in and celebrate with them. You can have everyone come back in. You have family come back in. But it's pivotal that him and Roman are the only 2 in the ring for the finish.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree with that. And what I will say is, I think that this is setting up for one of those classic, they're going to hoist Cody up or whatever on their shoulders, and he's just going to celebrate amid fireworks and all that other
shit. As far as stuff we can see, you know, blood's not out of the equation now that we saw on Monday. That's back. You know, Rock might take a chair shot to the head. It wouldn't surprise me because he's the Rock. And at this point, it wouldn't even surprise me if Dustin Rhodes shows up. I don't know how they'd be able to pull that off, but at this point,
well, because it's not Dustin Rhodes, it's Goldust.
That's true. That's a good point. But yeah, at this point, expect anything for this match. It's something you can do literally once for a WrestleMania main event, and you better nail it.
Yeah,
because it's going to be a mess. It's going to be overbooked, but if you do it right, people love it.
They absolutely will. We've done enough of WrestleMania 40. I'm excited. There's nothing else we can really do or say to hype this shit up anymore. It's going to be a wonderful week. Now, let's go relive a really good WrestleMania in its own right. WrestleMania 24, Orlando, Florida, the Citrus Bowl. There's a couple of musings that we had. Do you want to get through the musings first leading up to the pay-per-view? Or do you want to do like the sports and all that?
No, I mean,
it was pretty slow anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you know, 2008 NCAA tournament obviously is what it is. Memphis.
Yeah. If you love Derrick Rose, you don't want to talk about it. If you were like me and you were bitter Derrick Rose didn't go to Illinois, you were happy that Mario Chalmers hit that three.
Yeah. So we'll get back to sports and all that next week when we're kind of all caught up, which we will be after this because we just went right ahead to Mania because there were weeks of TV leading up. It's mostly just build, and you know, you can only do so much build. We saw it again this year where, you know, the past couple weeks of TV in 2024 were seemingly skippable until The Rock showed up on Raw. So, but yeah, so we're here, WrestleMania 24. We will kind of explain how we got to the matches as we go along. But yeah, Orlando, Florida, we open with John Legend, an actual superstar, getting America the Beautiful. So, you know, good for
John
them.
Legend before Chrissy Teigen came in and ruined everything.
Yes. So he does a good job with that. And we get the intro video, which is pretty good. And we move right into our opener, the Belfast Brawl between JBL and Finley. We got here by the Hornswoggle, Finley, and Vince stuff that started all the way back in June, when you really think about it. JBL got involved eventually, unretired, returned to the ring, revealed that Finley was actually Hornswoggle's dad, beat up Hornswoggle in a steel cage. We haven't seen Hornswoggle since. Finley comes out, and he's got Hornswoggle with him, so he's back. Yeah, honestly, like, Brawl is a good name for this one because these two are laying it in. JBL gets trash can as Finley goes for a suicide dive and whacks him right in the head with the lid. He also throws a trash can right at Hornswoggle on the outside fucking and takes great. Him out.
JBL is fucking great in this match, man.
He is. And yeah, I mean, they just mostly just beat each other with trash cans and shit and just lay punches in. And then after Finley goes to check on Hornswoggle, when he gets a trash can thrown at him, JBL comes out and or comes in and hits him with the clothesline from hell. And that's the end of it. So they just kind of make the most of their 10 minutes or so here. And really good start. One of the better openers in WrestleMania. And this was around the time, I think, that they started to realize, like, opening what you put as the opener is very important.
Yes, and like I remember being a little bit surprised that this was opening when I watched it, when I ordered the pay-per-view and I watched it. I was surprised that this was the one to open the match, but it's a perfect opener. It's a perfect match that gets the crowd, you know, into it and wakes them the fuck up and they get ready for the rest of the pay-per-view. And it's not really taking away from the rest of the pay-per-view because no one's like, oh man, I really got to watch JBL and Finley, you know? It's a good appetizer. It's a really good appetizer, you know? So yeah, this was fun. And kudos to Finley. I think this is his WrestleMania moment.
Oh yeah.
Pretty much. So kudos for him for getting that and a real fun one.
Then we go to backstage where we get guest hostess Kim Kardashian.
My girlfriend had a fucking conniption when she saw this. Like, what the fuck?
Just becoming famous at this time. The reality show is just getting underway. She was famous for some other things before the reality show, but the reality show really got it going. She's interviewing Ken Kennedy, who says that he will be the first superstar to win two straight Money in the Banks.
Don't you get it? Both of their initials are KK.
I do. That's clever.
You know, I never got that until now, actually. So thanks for pointing it out. I really didn't. So thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah, that was the joke.
And then it is time for the Money in the Bank ladder match. We got John Morrison, CM Punk, Chris Jericho, Ken Kennedy, Carlito, Shelton Benjamin, MVP. We got there by everyone winning qualifying matches. There were supposed to be eight guys, including Jeff Hardy. Where is Jeff Hardy? Well, he lost the Intercontinental title to Chris Jericho a couple weeks ago on Raw in Milwaukee, WrestleMania Rewind Raw. And then the next day was suspended for a second violation of the wellness policy.
Boom, 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 boom.
Which I believe he got a DUI as well, right around there, and that's why he got suspended. I
believe so.
And then later that week, his house burned down. So Jeff Hardy's going through it right now. But the guys who are here are putting in a lot of good work, a lot of hitting each other with ladders early on. Sean Benjamin does a sunset flip Tower of Doom off the top of the ladder on Ken Kennedy and John Morrison, which I forgot about, and is probably his craziest Money in the Bank spot that he's done. He's also doing another one where he was going to bounce off the rope and ride the ladder back up, but the ladder fell over. So yeah, everyone's kind of just going crazy in this match. Carlito does a backstabber onto Jericho off the ladder. MVP looks like he's going to win, but Matt Hardy comes back and does a twist of fate off the top of the ladder. Payback for MVP putting Matt Hardy out of action. CM Punk hits Ken Kennedy with a ladder, and then Jericho codebreakers Punk on another ladder. It looks like Jericho's going to climb up and win, but Punk is able to get him in a tree of woe on the ladder and get the briefcase. CM Punk is your Mr. Money in the Bank.
Yep, they went all in on him. And I mean, it wasn't just an internet thing either.
No.
The crowds were very, very immersed with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this was a really good Money in the Bank match. I liked it better than the 2007.
Yeah, I agree.
And the 06 one. I think right now it's second behind the first one. So then we did the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
As always, we had Gordon Solie, the Briscoe Brothers, Eddie Graham, Mae Young, Soul Man Rocky Johnson, High Chief Peter Maivia, and Ric Flair. They had everybody come out there, to represent, including future WWE superstar Charlotte Flair, who was representing Ric Flair, of course, with the rest of the family.
Yep.
Which I've always found funny. And I always found funny segueing into the next segment with Snoop Dogg and Todd Grisham, I believe that Sasha was also at this show.
I think so. Which I think that's a story.
Very humorous, all things considered. So they did the backstage segment with Snoop Dogg, Santino Marella, Festus, and then Mick Foley. They don't do things like this anymore.
They don't.
But this was funny.
Also, going back to the Hall of Fame for a second, the only time that you would see The Rock on WWE television from 2006 to 2011.
Correct.
So,
Yeah.
Because he was told that being in wrestling isn't good for your movie career, which, I mean...
Yes.
Look at him now. You know what's crazy is like when you meet people who know him from movies.
Oh, yeah.
They refer to him as Dwayne Johnson. I'm like, the fuck is Dwayne Johnson, bro? It's The Rock. Like, maybe now because the two are so intertwined, but yeah, he had that stigma. And it's so wild to think about it now when he's really going back to, or not only going back to pro wrestling, because he'll never fully go back. He's a Hollywood actor, he's the highest paid actor. That's never going to change. But had a little issue, you know, with the Black Adam shit. And he kind of realized, like, hey, I might need to, you know, rehab the image a little bit. What's the best way I can rehab the image a little bit? Pro wrestling. Because that's the one I'm always going to be beloved. You will never hear a bad word about The Rock from a pro wrestling aspect. He's still fucking good at it. It's the one avenue where, like, yeah, no one can really touch me. People could touch me in acting, you know? Folks can be a better actor than me. Vin Diesel can be a better action star than me. Ain't nobody going to be better on the mic than me. And I can control shit. And I'm part of the board.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, yeah. Very, very interesting to see him back here. Also, an interesting look for him.
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting look for him. The kind of like very like proper, clean shaven. The hair was perfectly coiffed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not my Rock, I would say.
Also, where he first...
Not my Dwayne Johnson.
Where he first teased a match with John Cena.
No, I made Doom. Yeah, you did. You did make Doom. I would say we fast forward now. John Cena's made better movies than The Rock. I haven't seen Ricky Stenicki yet, but can't wait.
Oh, yeah. So we go back and we get Umaga versus Batista in the battle for brand supremacy, which the story behind this one is William Regal and Vicky Guerrero just both picked a guy.
I mean, to be fair, it's a decent way to sell an interpromotional match, I guess.
Yeah, it's not bad. The match...
Also, Umaga.
Yes. The match is not good.
Oh, my God.
You would think with these two, they could have had a better match.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed watching this back.
They only got like 7 minutes and just, I don't know, like, especially considering the match both had at WrestleMania 23, where, you know, the Lashley and Umaga match ends up being quite good. And obviously Batista and Undertaker is awesome. Yeah. It's kind of a step back for the two of them, but, you know, that happens sometimes.
Indeed. Kane won a battle royal on the pre-show to face Chavo Guerrero for the ECW Championship. He's doing it tonight. He squashed him, got the win, and we have a new ECW champion. It's Kane. This brand is bleh.
Yeah, ECW's dying, but that also makes it better. So
correct. So Raven Simone is here. She has 50 Make-A-Wish kids from 50 states there. So they did a nice little thing. I thought that was cute.
She is so excited to be here.
She is. She was. She was very fired excited. Up. Yes.
Yeah, John Cena became, he got honored for doing his 100th Make-A-Wish a couple weeks ago in this time.
100.
And yeah, look at him now. All right. So let me move to Shawn Michaels versus Ric Flair.
A career-threatening match. And then we get, so how we got here? Well, Ric wanted to have a match with Mr. WrestleMania to see if he could still be the best of the best. Michaels had to be convinced because he didn't want to be the guy to, you know, retire Ric Flair. Flair got in his face because Shawn Michaels basically told him he was going to old yeller him. So yeah, it got contentious and now we're here. So Shawn slapped Ric. Ric sent him to the corner for some chops. Shawn went for a springboard, but then sent himself to the announce table. Flair had a lot of fight in him. Tried for another moonsault on top, on the outside rather. Michaels did. Landed it this time. Went for sweet chin music, couldn't bring himself to it. Ric put him in the figure four. Then we had Shawn eventually get to the ropes. Hit sweet chin music, kicked out. Ric Flair had a near fall and inside cradle, got over with the crowd. Then Michaels hit him with sweet chin music, didn't cover, went to the corner. Ric told him to bring it on. Flair said, you know, sorry, I love, Shawn said, sorry, I love you. Sweet chin music, over.
Yeah,
that's it.
That'll be it for Ric Flair. And really just a perfect send-off. Shame that he didn't stick with it. But, you know, a tremendous match. Obviously something that a lot of people remember from this show. And, yeah, it was good. I mean, it lived up to the hype. All right, then we get...
Shawn... I want to say it sucks for Shawn because he put this in contrast to the Jericho match, which is 5 years before this. And then he retires 2 years after this. And Jericho matches his first match back, and it's really his one with a younger, fresher superstar, with all due respect to Kurt Angle, who is not much younger than Michaels. Like, it felt like era versus era with Michaels and Jericho. And you don't really get that again in his WrestleMania career. You kind of feel a little bit shorted by that. But at the same time, he's, of course, the Vince match sucks. Oh, Cena. I forgot he did the Cena match.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two in that back run. At the same time, those final three matches are all legendary. The two against Taker and then the Ric Flair match.
Mm-hmm.
So him able to put on like these kind of like these legend versus legend matches at WrestleMania were still a pretty sweet deal for Shawn. Of course, like I said, Flair comes back eventually in TNA, and it kind of waters down the match in totality, which sucks. But it's wonderful to see WWE do that for guys that deserve it. They've done it for Shawn. They've done it for Taker. Austin kind of got a mini one, although I think he should have got a full fledged one in main events at that WrestleMania. But
yeah.
You know, it's always good to see that as they're going out getting the salute. So it was a fun match.
Yeah. So Beth Phoenix and Melina win the Playboy match against Maria and all those other folks.
It happened. It was raining.
I mean, Snoop was the host. That was pretty cool. But like,
this was the Snoop-mobile.
Yeah.
The song at this time, like, Life of the Party was mid. Like, he could have did Sensual Seduction and like everything would have been all right.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's time for John Cena versus Randy Orton versus Triple H for the WWE title.
Why did this match happen?
How did we get here? Well, John Cena won the Royal Rumble and then used his opportunity at No Way Out instead and won that match by disqualification. In the meantime, Triple H already won a number one contenders match at Elimination Chamber, so he also had a match against Orton, so they just did a triple threat instead, and it really watered the whole thing down. It wasn't very good. I mean, they all started fighting outside the announce tables to start, which I thought was pretty cool. But this is also really where we get into the let's go Cena fuck stuff. It's very prevalent here. And that's going to be a theme for the next few years, which, you know, feel about that how you want. Yeah, and then Randy just retains, which... So, again, you kind of undo Cena's big comeback even more. Like, just as its own, as a standalone moment, obviously it's very cool. But like, if you take the time now to think about what came after it, it was stupid. And he'll be champion again soon, obviously.
He's not going to be champion soon, actually. He's not.
Oh, no, he's not.
He's not going to be champion until.
Yeah.
He's world heavyweight champion at the end of next year's WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. If you.
That's right.
I think right now, and this is just me putting this out there, if you think that WWE pussied their way around with Roman Reigns and they were pussyfooting, in 2015, in 2016, 17, 18, they didn't go. You feel that they didn't go all the way with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you feel they didn't go all the way with them, what do you make of the last 3 months here? This is ridiculous. Like, you had the greatest return ever, and you completely diminished it in 2 months. Why? Because you're afraid of the crowd?
Yeah.
Come on. It's John Cena. God's sake, you need an ambassador right now, and this is what you're going to do? Again, it feels like, you know, they saw all the quote unquote negative stuff and they got scared. And I hate when they did that crap.
No, you're not wrong.
Yeah, they do that in a weird time where they're ignorant to the people, and then there's other times where they're defiant.
Yeah.
And you don't understand it either way, because you're like, yo, if you just listen to what the crowd is asking you, and you'd be honest with the crowd, you wouldn't have those fucking problems. So they cause a lot of this shit themselves.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course they did.
Yeah, no, for sure. So Randy, still your champion.
Yep. One-man dynasty, trudges on.
Yep.
I will say before you continue, all-time entrance by John Cena. My favorite Cena entrance, having, I wish I knew the band that was there with them, but him kind of leaning into that era of John Cena with that was pretty fucking fun. And I loved it. This match stunk and didn't need to happen. You guys know how I feel about that.
All right. So we move on to Big Show against Floyd Mayweather. For years, this is great. The standard for WWE celebrity matches.
Do more of these. Holy fuck, this is fun.
Yeah.
Still fun.
Obviously, we got here by, Big Show confronted Floyd at No Way Out after Mysterio got hurt. And, they had a back and forth. They really did a lot during the build. We had a weigh-in on the WrestleMania Rewind Raw. Tail of the Tape kind of obviously was running in a lot of mainstream places. I think they got that in like the USA Today and just a big build for it. And, this time Floyd Mayweather had beaten Oscar De La Hoya. So he was, or was that 2007? Yeah. Yeah. So
I believe so. Yeah.
Floyd was a big deal at this point, and he came in, was going to do business. Money falls from the sky as he enters, and it's a boxing match, but also it's anything goes, so it's not really a boxing match. Floyd tries to choke him out, which is a good strategy because it's really all you can do against Big Show, and eventually Big Show fights out of it. He attacks Floyd's entire entourage, also throws Floyd into them, and eventually the entourage just kind of gets Floyd to leave, and like I said, Big Show goes out and attacks all of them and brings them back to the ring, and Floyd gets the brass knuckles on and hits Big Show with it, and Big Show can't answer the 10 count.
Great match.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, great spectacle. It really was, incredible. Because you think of celebrity matches that we've seen, it's been...
It's been a tough
game. We've had Big Show and Akebono. We've had the Miller Lite girls.
Yeah, Jesus
Christ. You know, just the ones we've watched throughout the course of the one last year with Trump involved.
Yeah.
And even just, the celebrity matches in the company at this point, it was like, Drew Carey coming in and getting thrown out of the Royal Rumble, or Pete Rose coming in and getting tombstoned. But this is the first, proper celebrity match since probably Lawrence Taylor.
Exactly.
And, they both really rose to the occasion. And it's one of the better matches on the card, probably the second or third best match on the show.
I would say from what you're getting out of it, it's the best match on the show.
Yeah.
It's what you want out of professional wrestling. And then the of course you get the novelty of the Big Show being a giant and being this huge attraction, which for pro wrestling dates all the way back.
Mm-hmm.
And then Floyd, who is he's not short, but he's much smaller than Big Show, but he also has the cachet of being the undefeated welterweight champion, can't be touched, can't be stopped. Say whatever you want about Floyd as a person, as a fighter, I have never seen anybody who is as brilliant as he is. he is magnificent with the science of boxing and with not being touched and being able to touch you lightning quick. It's amazing to watch him fight. And so you knew that you were just going to get a spectacle, and like everyone played a role perfectly to this. For Floyd to be as willing to do as much as he would was fun, because I feel like, you know, you get celebrities come in and you know, they won't really be touched. They don't want to kind of get into it and do shit. You mentioned Paul Walter Hauser a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago. They're doing that match at the WrestleCon Super Show on Thursday. Paul Walter Hauser and then Sammy Callahan. So it's a street fight or something with like... Dude's gonna get fucked up.
Yeah, I think like a Philly Street Fight or something.
Yeah, dude's gonna get fucked up, and like the willingness to go out there and want to be a part of it. It's so rare, but it's so like fun to see, and for Floyd to be willing to do all that, and then you know, obviously he's gonna win at the end of the day because like you can't pass that up. But yeah, I think what you're saying it was the Michaels and Flair. It's this, and then probably your main event is your three best matches.
Yeah.
On this show, like this is what you want out of professional wrestling. They need to do more of these. Like, the fact that, like, yeah, you mentioned the Lawrence Taylor, and then the other only other one since this one I can think of is Bad Bunny. You know, respect to Snooki, but like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do more of these. This is what WrestleMania is for. This is why the man whose name Drew McIntyre can't say decided to make WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're not wrong. Kim Kardashian comes back out to read the attendance. New Citrus Bowl record,
74,635
people. So, I have no idea how the Kim Kardashian thing came to be.
Like, I want to know.
Yeah, I've never really heard anything about that. Like, did they just reach out and like...
Did come on, come on. Come on now. Chris is not reaching out to WWE.
That's true, no.
But like respect to Chris, because this is an era of time where Chris is pimping the shit out of her daughters.
Yeah,
willing to do anything and anything for that bag, because they kind of need to distract from the reason that they got famous, and did an excellent job of doing it. Obviously, they're on Disney Plus now. But like, yeah. I really want to hear the story of how this shit came to be. I really want to hear. Like, do you know how they do the 24s mm-hmm. for WrestleMania? We gotta have some backstage footage of this WrestleMania.
Oh yeah,
I need to see the backstage footage.
All right, main event time: Edge against the Undertaker, World Heavyweight Championship. We get a video of all of Undertaker's previous WrestleMania victories. He has 15 of them. Obviously, going for 16-0 right here. Early on, Edge is taking it to him, and. Also, in the early part of this match, it kind of felt like, you know, they were taking a little bit to get going. Maybe Sean and Rick should have main evented, but they really turn it back around here.
They did.
You know, Taker's throwing everything he has at Edge. Edge keeps kicking out. He kicks out a last ride. He kicks out a tombstone later after a ref bump. The Edgeheads get involved, which, speaking of the Edgeheads, they did Cardona against Edge last night on Collision.
They did.
So, you know, whatever. Not something you want to see in 2024, but... Whatever. Yeah, so Edge kicks out the tombstone. Undertaker eventually kicks out of the spear. So how are they going to finish it? Well, Undertaker goes to the mat, gets the Hell's Gate locked in. Edge can't get out. And he taps. Undertaker is 16-0 and the champion once again for the second straight WrestleMania.
Indeed.
It was a fun main event.
WrestleMania 24.
It was a fun main event. It was a great way to cap it. Taker needed that. Main event to main event WrestleMania, because his last main event at WrestleMania was kind of bad.
Yeah,
of course he'll have better. Not the Roman one, but the other ones are really good.
Yeah,
and then also cool to see Edge main eventing WrestleMania, and I don't know if you mentioned it that they were both undefeated.
They were going into
this, so like that was a whole play to it too. And obviously Edge was never going to win it. But yeah. Fun. You talk about shenanigans. Like this had fun shenanigans.
Oh yeah,
shenanigans, and this was great. And then everyone's favorite spot, Charles Robinson darting it to the ring.
He was
fucking blades of glory over here. Like, it's fun. It's a really good WrestleMania. If you go watch it back, it's up there in my upper upper half now that we're at 20, about to be at 20. Jesus Christ. Yeah, man, I'm very excited for WrestleMania. It's gonna be so much fun. If you be in town, say hi, clink a drink, too sweet me if you see me. Wear deodorant, wash your fucking ass for the love of God, please. It's a long weekend and people are doing a lot of shows. People are gonna be doing a lot of things. Be mindful of people, and then also be mindful of Philly. This is a great city at its core, because it tries not to be, but be respectful, don't do dumb shit. For the love of God, don't flash anybody or don't look at a flasher. Watch where you sit before you go on SEPTA, or just don't go on SEPTA, because a lot of your problems will be solved by just not doing SEPTA. Anyway, this has been Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce. You can find me at Cameron Santo on Twitter and Instagram, or just Twitter. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. Rob's at RobinNeil31. At BarberShareNet on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com/BarberShareDigital. Lots of good, fun shit happening in the works. Scott's putting together a lot of shit, man. Draft's coming up, so you know you want to be dialed in on Sunday Night Mahalas and King's Ransom, which is our Atlanta Falcons podcast. I know that because it's on our feed. Yeah, man, it's gonna be a lot of fun cooking up for the summer. Baseball's back. It's a lot of good shit, man. Enjoy WrestleMania. Enjoy your week. Don't do dumb shit. This has been Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce for Rob and Chris. Enjoy, man.